You can stand and we'll start with some worship.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Don't you love the Lord this evening?
Amen.
We just need to announce to you this evening real quick that Billy and Sarah had to cancel being here this evening. They had just returned from Japan, and Monday they were sick all day, and they felt it better that they go ahead and stay home. But we want to let you know that we are going to go ahead and make sure they receive the diapers that are here, and I believe we're going to have a regional council meeting before long, and we'll just take that when we do that. We want to thank you for giving to that. Ice cream following the service this evening in the back. Okay. Brian and I will be there. I heard him say something, but we want to invite everyone to come back there at the back and just enjoy a time of fellowship and just stay and just enjoy each other in the presence of the Lord. Next week is hymns and hot dogs. I got more than the ice cream. Bring a lawn chair because if weather permits, we're going to be outside. We'd like for everyone to come, invite somebody to come with you. And then on Wednesday, August 28th, it's going to be a picnic at Broadford Park. And please sign up on the church app for that. And A through M, bring a side dish. N through Z, bring a dessert. And I believe Cindy had said if you'd like to bring one of each, it's okay. So we invite you to come and be ready for that. And now Mark and Teresa have an announcement this evening.
So if you go to Japan, don't eat the sushi. That's what will happen. So with Teresa and I up here again, you know it's time to talk about small groups. Small groups. So small groups will be starting again soon. Sign up is available on the app or at the Welcome Center. Hebrews 2:1 says we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away.
Today, many voices shout for our attention, trying to shape our thinking. Among the messages we hear is that truth is relative. Words can be redefined to fit an agenda. Melanin content in our skin should divide us. We're told that opposition to these opinions should be silenced. Sometimes we are silent, and sometimes we don't speak because we're not equipped. The study that we want to work with this time is it prepares followers of Christ to know and then to articulate a defense for the hope that is within us. At the same time, we want to win souls, not arguments.
So for Teresa and I and David and Angie Meyer, we have a small group called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. It's sort of an apologetic type of study. And anyone who was in the first half last spring, we encourage to come back. And anyone who wants to sign up new is fine because you didn't have to attend the first half in order to appreciate what's going on in the second half of the book. I said what you wrote there. How about that?
So in addition to this class, Drawing Near, led by Karen Tyree and Barbara Fike, they'll continue their study as well, which started in the spring. They state as well that their study does not depend on what was covered in the spring, so you are welcome to sign up for that, even if you did not attend in the spring. In the app, you will also find Living by Faith, led by Pastor Ivan, a study for men available also, Men's Alliance, led by Marty Rowe. Parents will be excited to find a study called Raising Giant Killers, led by Pastor Brad and Megan Fury. And of course, a study will be available in the sanctuary each Wednesday as well. So let's invite the Lord into our service tonight. Lord God, you are high and lifted up. You are our God. You are amazing. We worship you, God. We invite you into this time tonight, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that we would be receptive. Our ears will be open, Lord. And, Lord, that we will take what we hear and apply it, Lord. Just equip us to serve you well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaken. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations, so why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. And I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense, so I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful in every season, so why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. On you, and I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it through. Rain came when blue, my house was built on you. Thank you.
As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me.
Spirit, come rest on us. You may be seated.
It was my cross you bore, so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. And now stand amazed in your love undeniable. Your grace goes on and on, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name,
Please. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names.
Thank you, Pastor Megan, for that beautiful worship, and Pastor Tim and the team. Isn't it good to be in God's house? How many of you are thankful that God is not surprised at change? Amen. When we got the text late Monday night, and I was sad to hear that they had came home so sick from a trip to Japan for missions, I thought, God, this is not a surprise to you. So I began to pray because I had been studying, but I have been studying for what I have felt like the Lord leading me to do this fall. So I said, this isn't a surprise to you. And I just immediately felt God begin to download some things into my spirit. I would love for you to stand with me, if you will, for the word. And I want you to read with me. Tina is putting this up there on the screen, 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And then Psalms 32, 8, if you will, with me. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Pray with me. Lord, we're so grateful for your presence that we feel here tonight. Your tangible presence. We're so grateful for everyone that is in this room, that you, Lord God, have a word for us tonight. I pray that we have ears to hear. I believe it's going to be revelation. And God, that you're going to do something supernatural in our hearts and in our minds that will be far beyond what we may even realize what's happening tonight. I thank you for great grace and great mercy, and we're going to give you the glory. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. So good to see you. I like being down here with you all, even though we're kind of just spread out. It's good to be here on this night of refreshing. In Genesis 16 and 13, the word says, she, being Hagar, gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, you are the God who sees me, for she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. The New Living says, therefore, after Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her, she said, you are the God who sees me. She also said, have I truly seen the one who sees me? And this is what I feel very strongly that the Lord would have me to say to you tonight. He is the God who sees me. Who sees me? I want to encourage someone tonight. I became excited when the Lord began to download this word into me, the God who sees me. You may be going through a season tonight of feeling overlooked. Anybody ever been there? Unseen. Just a very difficult place. It could be a dark night of the soul, a season of grief. It could be a transition. Whatever those places are, they're lonely places. Can anyone attest to that? You can be in a house with a spouse. You can be in a church with a lot of people. And when you're going through certain seasons, it's lonely. And it feels like you're walking through it alone. And this is where Hagar found herself in Genesis 16. She was an Egyptian slave to Sarah, Abraham's wife, Abram at the time. And she was serving her. And we know that God had already told Abram that I'm gonna bless you. I'm gonna multiply you. Your seed is gonna be like the stars. But years passed and nothing happened. So Sarah says to Abram, I'm gonna give you my servant, Hagar. It wasn't unusual in the Old Testament for that to happen. So that we can have children by her. We know this wasn't God's plan, but she got impatient. So she gave Hagar to Abram, and he took her as his wife, and she went into him, and she conceived. And when she conceived, she began to have some contempt for Sarah. How many of you know that two women in a house isn't always tension-free? There was some tension that began to develop, and Sarah was very angry and went to Abram, even though it was her idea, and was mad at him. Do you all ever get that way? And she said, "That woman, you need to do something with that woman." And he said, "She's your servant. You do with her." And she treated her so harshly that Hagar left and went to the wilderness, and there God found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, feeling alone. She had fled from her mistress, and there she was, feeling abused and used and unseen and overlooked. And what was she going to do now? She's with child, and she's all alone. And yet the Lord heard her, and because the Lord listened to her in her affliction, he began to minister to her by this spring of water and tell her that she needed to go back to her master's house, submit to her, and that God was going to bless her, not only with Ishmael, but he was going to multiply her seed. And that Ishmael, though it wasn't too exciting what he said to her, that this man, this child that you're going to have, he's going to be like a wild donkey. He's going to rise up against people. They're going to rise up against him. But there was something in the solace of knowing that God was going before her and that God saw her. And this is where she said, then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees," or El Roy. For she said, "Have I also here seen him who sees me?" So the Hebrew phrase is "the God who sees me" is translated El Roy. According to the psalmist in Psalms 139, before you and I were born, God saw us. And he sees us all the days of our life. When you look over in the chapter, it says, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes, you, Lord, saw my unformed body. All my days were written in your book and ordained for me before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them." Do you know, even today, there's nowhere you can go from the presence of God that he does not see. If you make your bed in hell, he's there. If you make your bed in heaven, there's nowhere you can go that God does not see. All through the Old Testament, God was known for eye encounters. Not only did he reveal himself to Hagar in Genesis 16, but Genesis 17, one tells us, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and you will multiply exceedingly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but you shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations." He appeared to him again in Genesis 18:1 by the oaks at Mamre. He was at the tent door, and it was in the heat of the day, and God appeared to him. And we know that this is where that he told him that, "I'm going to give you a son. This time next year, you're going to have a son, Isaac. I'm going to bless you. He's going to come from your loins and from Sarah." And not only did he tell him that, but he began to tell him about what was going to happen in Sodom and Gomorrah, and his nephew was there. And Abraham began to intercede on behalf of Lot and on behalf of his people. And we know that God spared Lot. We know that Lot's wife turned back. But this is what I want you to understand. God sees where you are. And there are times, even today, there are times where God will speak and give us a warning or give us a word so that we can intercede and stand in the gap on behalf of our children, on behalf of our church, on behalf of our family, on behalf of our nation. There were many that even before the assassination attempt on President Trump that said that God woke them up, or they began to pray months ago. God will reveal his secrets to his people if we will only understand that not only does God see us, but God wants us to see him. He appeared in Genesis 26 to Isaac, and he warned him not to go down to Egypt. He said, you go to the land that I'm going to tell you. He was guiding him and directing him. In Genesis 28, he appeared to Jacob in a dream as he was traveling to Paddan Aram to find a wife from his grandfather's house. And in that dream, God promises to bless his offspring and to bring him back to his homeland. And after his dream, Jacob declares, this is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven. In Exodus 3, we find that God appears to Moses in a burning bush, but the bush doesn't burn up. He appears to him on Mount Sinai. He covers the mountain, and then he calls Moses to come up. Again, in Exodus 33, he hid Moses in the cleft of the rock, and he showed him his glory. I want you to know that God sees you where you are. He sees me where we are. If you don't get anything else out of tonight, if you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember that God sees me, because the enemy is always trying to wear you down and make you feel worthless, or that you don't have a purpose, or that you don't matter, or that your struggle is too big. But I want you to know that God sees me. He knows exactly where you are, and he will keep you, keep everything that you commit to him. He saw Gideon when he was hiding in the wine press. He was afraid. The enemy seemed greater than they are. But it says the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "This, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." I want to look at some people tonight, and I want to tell you, young and old, that the Lord is with you. He's going before you. He has you right in the palm of his hand. There is nothing that the enemy can do that God has not already put a stop up there and is going before you, ordering every step in your life. Do not back up. Do not retreat. Do not become afraid. Do not become discouraged or disillusioned. Hold your ground, because God sees me. He sees you. He knows exactly where you are tonight. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows what your thoughts are. He knows what your questions are. He knows what your doubts are. And I'm going to tell you now, he is not put off by any of them. We may not all admit it, but we all have questions. We all go through seasons of darkness, of doubt, where we wonder, because we're human. We're frail. We know we can have great faith and know beyond any doubt that God is our God and he keeps us. But we still will go through valleys of Baca. We'll still go through times when we have to learn to trust God, even when it's hard. But God sees you. I want you to say that with me. God sees me. Wow. Say that again. God sees me. He knows where you are. He'll come to the wilderness to find you. He'll come through the valley of the shadow of death to minister to you. He'll give you a song in the night when you feel like you can't go on. God sees you. And he loves you. He sees you in your struggle. He sees you in your struggle. Don't you ever doubt that. He sees you when you feel like no one else even knows or would understand. The thing about it is that if you looked around this room and we were all honest, we all deal with things. And we walk by faith, Kendra, not by sight. And we take it a step at a time. And God helps us because he sees us. God spoke to Joshua after Moses' death and instructed him to cross over into the Jordan. He appeared by fire on Mount Carmel as Elijah prayed in faith for God to show up in the face of the prophets of Baal. In the New Testament, from the birth of Jesus, when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, as we beheld his glory unto his ascension, Jesus was known for looking at people in the eye and seeing them from the youngest to the oldest. Jesus loved looking in the eyes of people. As a matter of fact, when you look in Matthew 19 and again in Mark 10, we read that while Jesus was teaching, there were parents that brought children to come to Jesus. They wanted him just to touch them, to bless them. The disciples, not really understanding and feeling all large and in charge, begin to rebuke them and say, no, the master's busy, he's teaching. And Jesus became angry. He became indignant, the Bible says. He was very displeased. And he rebuked them. He said, what are you doing? He said, don't stop the children from coming to me. Bring them to me. Because unless you become like those children, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom belongs to the children. And he laid his hands on them and he blessed them. So I want everyone that's 11 and under to stand up, if you will. 11 and under. I want to tell you that Jesus loves you. And he sees you. Jesus sees you. And he loves you. And I want you to sing this with me. Everybody. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Isn't that beautiful? Our children, the Lord loves them. And not only does he love the little children, but he was known to love the unlovable, the outcast, the sinner, the broken. When he walked on the earth, he healed lepers and he delivered those that were tormented by demons, and he healed those that were sick, and he's still doing that. He stooped for the woman caught in the act of adultery when they were yelling at her, and he wrote in the sand. And while they were all pious and is like, isn't this what the law says, that she's to be stoned? I don't know where the man was, but anyway, Jesus said, it is what it says, but let him who is without sin go ahead and throw the first stone at her. He was known to go out of the way to meet people. In John 4, it said, he said, I must go through Samaria. It would typically be avoided because it was Samaritan, especially by the Jews. But when he got there, he sat down by Jacob's well, and the disciples went on in to buy food. And here comes a promiscuous woman who had had four husbands. She was with someone now that wasn't even her husband. And she came to the well in the middle of the day so she would be alone. And there was Jesus. And he began to offer her living water. And she began to partake of what God was giving her, because Jesus saw her. He looked beyond her shame and her faults and all the places that she had been and the things that she had done. And he spoke into her soul. And that day she partook of the living water, because not only did God see her, but she saw Jesus. And she had a revelation, and she went into the town and became a powerful evangelist in that day. He made time for Zacchaeus, the crooked tax collector, when he was going through Jericho. He was a thief. He would steal, take more than he was supposed to. And yet he heard that Jesus was coming, and he was intrigued. And because he was short and couldn't see Jesus, he ran up into a tree. And Jesus, with all the crowd around, knew in his soul that there was someone that was seeking. And he looks up and he says, Zacchaeus, you come on down. I'm going to your house today. And Zacchaeus began to be changed and transformed in the very presence of Jesus. And he said, I'm going to give half of what I owe, what I have, to the poor, and then I'm going to give four times back to the people that I have defrauded. There was something that happened in his life. See, the change comes, Vea, not when God just sees me, but when I see him. Because I have his attention. You have his attention. All your days are written in his book. But the change comes when not only do I know that he sees me, but I see him. See, when we feel invisible and vulnerable and our self-esteem has bottomed out, we can remind ourselves of Joseph that was thrown into the pit by his own brothers. They went back and told his dad that he died, that he must have died. There was a wild animal. They took his coat, and yet God takes him out of the pit, and he's sold into slavery. But that's not a bad thing. God's directing that, and he takes him, and he puts him, and he gives him favor. And later on, he delivers his family out of famine. See, God sees you. We need to see him. We can encourage ourselves when we're going through some very difficult times and we feel like God has forgotten us. Even in the lion's den, he kept the mouths of the lion shut. They slept all night and didn't even try to bother Daniel. But the next day when they threw those in that tried to set Daniel up, I mean, they were eating him up like that. He kept the three Hebrew boys. He walked in the fire with them. They didn't even come out smelling like smoke. God sees you tonight. He knows where you are. He's not put off because you're struggling, because you're doubting, because you're questioning, because you're going through things, because you're weak. He's not put off by that. He sees you. He wants you to see him. He wants you to see him. The psalmist said, Oh Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. You brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down into the pit. Listen to God's promise. I'm just going to keep you maybe 5 to 10 more minutes. I just want to give you the very word that God gave me for you. Psalms 32:8. This is God's promise. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. He's got his eye on us. There's nowhere we can go from his presence. He goes before us. He goes behind us. He walks with us. He overshadows us. His banner over us is love. He sings over us, according to Zephaniah 3:17. He's singing over us tonight. I'm praying that you can hear it because it's beautiful. His voice is like the sound of many waters. It fills the atmosphere and it reverberates over us. We always hear these noises from the enemy and the world and the pressure. But if we can ever look back at him when he's looking at us, and tune into the sound of heaven, it changes everything. We have God's attention. The Amplified says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you who are willing to learn with my eye upon you. He wants to lead us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We need God's direction in our life. We need it. That's why when we open this word, that's why it's so important that we open this word of all ages, because this is life and light, and it's health and it's hope, and it's God's word, and it's God's nature, and it's God's power, and it's God's anointing. And when we open it and then we begin to pray and we begin to worship and we let this resonate deep within inside of us, then we begin to overflow, and God can direct us and he can nudge us and he can speak to us and he can warn us and he can talk to us and he can commune with us. And we're not out in the dark. We're not alone. He said, I'm going to instruct you with my eye. How many of you have been, well, you kids probably know this too. How many of you know you don't need a word from your parents? I mean, their look. You ever had the look? My kids did. Then they're like, what are you looking at me like that for? And husbands and wife know the look. Amen. He said he will guide us with his eye on us. He loves us. He's going before us. We have God's attention. What we need now is to not only know that he sees us, but that we see him. That was the life-changing revelation that Hagar had. She said, I not only know that God sees me, but I have seen him. It's a revelation. It's my prayer for tonight, that you have a revelation. It's what Paul prayed over the church at Ephesus. He said, I pray that you would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, they would be opened, so that you would know the hope to which you've been called. You would know the riches of the glory of God's grace. You would know the depth and the power of God that raised him from the dead, that now works in you. He prayed over in Ephesians 3, 14 down through 17, that we would know the love of God, the depth, the width, the height, and that we would be rooted and grounded and loved, and that we would be filled with God's power, and that it would flow through us, that we would understand it. Not only does God see me, but may I see him. That's why worship is so important. That's why the enemy fights your worship. He fights it, doesn't he? Doesn't he try to get you to be silent? Yes. Doesn't he say, Jamie, you've had a rough week. What are you doing raising your hand? Who do you think you are? Ever say that to you? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Or you look foolish. You look silly. You don't need to be that animated and that excited. Calm down. Why do you think he fights it? Praise is your weapon. Praise sets the stage for the presence of God. He rides on the wings of the wind. When you worship, it's your weapon. It's also revelation. When I worship, I'm exalting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Just like she was singing tonight, worthy is your name. Jesus, that was not just a song and a dance. Megan knows God sees her, and you could tell from our dance that she sees him. That's why he fights your worship. That's why you got to press through. You want to see God? You want to see his glory? You want to see him in your home? You want to see some chains broke? You want to see some revelation come? You want to see God use you in the gifts that he's given you? Then worship. Don't let anybody around you tie your arms down and get you to be silent and to be still. Let everything hath breath. Praise the Lord. Let your soul sing. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Clap your hands in the sanctuary. Learn to play skillfully with a shout. There's so many things in there that tell us how to worship. It is not just for us to be loud. It is for us to see him who sees me. It'll change you. It'll change everything about you. Shackles will fall off. How many of you are tired of being shackled? How many of you are tired of being tied down? You want to be free in the presence of God. Worship. Worship. Let me say it again. Worship. Get your praise on. Sing. Use your breath to give God glory. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Things are going to start looking different. They're going to sound different. You're going to be different. You're going to see different. You're going to hear different. Because you are changed when you look in the face of God. You cannot look in the face of God and not be changed. Our kids say this to us now. They're older. I call them kids. They're older. They'll call one of us and I'll tell them something. I will not have talked to him. They'll call him. That's exactly what mom said. Or that's exactly what dad said. Now, why do you think that is? We've hung around each other for 44 years. When you hang around the presence of God, you're going to start looking like him. You're going to start acting like him. You're going to start prophesying. You're not going to be able to hold it in. When you begin to grasp that not only does he see me, but I have seen him. I'm going to close out with this. David expresses his desire in Psalms 27 and 4. And he said, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and inquire in his temple, behold his beauty." David shares with us in another Psalms how desire has moved to new depths in God's presence. And he says, "Oh Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. I love being in your presence. I love being in your presence. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than one day in his house and a thousand elsewhere." There's something about it. When you begin to desire the things of God and you begin to see God, knowing he sees you, it changes to new depths. And then those depths that become a personal experience become a lifestyle for you. The psalmist in 141 says, "But my eyes are fixed on you, O God." Listen to what Justin Self said. When we see God the way he truly is, we position ourselves to hear his voice clearly and regularly. In this way, the Christian life becomes naturally supernatural. And we learn to rely and lean upon his goodness, mercy, and grace as we make manifest his power made available by the Holy Spirit. The energy and power available to us is unlimited, but the amount of power we actually experience in our lives is directly proportional to the power that's at work within us based on our revelation of who God is. Based on our revelation. Inside of you, hear me, young people. I want you to hear this. I want all of you to hear this. You know this scripture, Romans 8 and 11. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in me, giving life to my mortal body. The measure that we release that power that's at work in every single one of us, because he gives the spirit without limit, is in proportion to the revelation that you have of God. It's not that the power's not there, it's the revelation of who God is in you that you allow for him to be released. Does that make sense? That's why we grow in grace. You go from where you are right now. God loves you where you are. He sees you, and he wants you to grow in his grace and in his mercy and in his power and his anointing, because not only does God see me, but I want to see him. I want you to stand with me, if you will. Psalms 33 and 18 says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love." Psalms 34, 15 repeats it in a little different variation. "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." And then the psalmist turns the script in Psalms 121, and he's like, "Now that I know that I have the attention of God, I'm going to look to the hills from where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." I'm going to ask you, if you will, this is biblical. This is not, Cindy, this is not Church of God. The word tells us to lift our hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. That's the word of God. You cannot go wrong when you practice the word of God. I'm going to ask you to do that for just a moment. You can't go wrong. It's the word of God. Lord, tonight, I pray fresh revelation according to Ephesians 1:17 and 18 over this body, that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would know the hope to which you've called us to and the riches of your glory and that power that's at work in us. I pray that. I pray that we would know your love, the depth, the width, the height of your love, oh God. I pray, God, that you would just go before us and that you would lead us and guide us and protect us and overshadow us tonight, God. I pray that you would move deep within our hearts, that we would not only know that you see us, but that we would see you. Shirley, while you play something just a moment, will you do that first? And just if you want to keep your hands up, you can. I'm going to ask specifically, if you are here and something has just triggered in you, it's just revelation, it's just God is just saying, this is your night. There's something I want to do in you different. I want you just to come up to the altar. All ages, I just want you to come if God is speaking to you. Anybody? I feel like I'm not going to be pushy. I'm not. I do feel like God is speaking to a few more. I do. There's something about stepping out that releases revelation in your life. There's just something about it when God is moving. Just feel free to come. If not, I'm going to ask you just to lift your hands right there. or you can come down and pray with one of these. I would love that. I would love if some would gather around some of these. God is doing something supernatural. He wants it to become naturally supernatural in our life, where we're not one way in here and another way out there. He wants to guide us and direct us. He sees us. I feel like there are some here tonight that you've been going through a hard place, and God is saying to you, I see you. I see you. Now I want you to see me. I want you to come down if that's you. I want you to come down. It's just God moving. If you want to come and help us pray, please do that. But they're going to sing, and I'm just going to ask you to engage with the presence of God for just a few moments, if you will. If you will just engage with the Lord while we pray and let Him minister.
of God.
To